I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network, and I welcome my colleague of long standing, Dr. Henry Miller, a physician. He is a senior fellow at the Pacific Research Institute. You can see Henry's articles and his observations at henrymillermd.org. We speak, however, to what we know so far of the coronavirus. Henry has been with me since January of 2020, when all we knew were incomplete reports from East Asia of a new kind of pneumonia, acting somewhat like SARS, but then again, we know a deal more since then. However, I learned from a new article that Henry guided me to most recently, what we don't know about COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, what we don't know is extremely important as what we do know, because there are human decisions to be made ahead of us, not just medical decisions, but social decisions, political decisions. Henry, a very good evening to you. You have been very careful to my audience and to me to remind that the virus is not to be solved. It is to be dealt with. It is to be confronted. It is to be managed. And this new article highlights that fact. We now have several vaccines in the field, more to come. There are new understandings of which vaccine can do what age group. And there are political responses that are changing all the time. For example, lowering the age of those eligible to the vaccine, perhaps to 30 in New York, perhaps to childhood in other parts of the country. There are also recommendations of people and what they should not do, which is, for example, in Europe right now, there is a recommendation that people under a certain age not take the Oxford AstraZeneca. I want to start with a much larger landscape. That is this idea that we can achieve something called herd immunity by just living our lives and being vaccinated. What is herd immunity, and why is it constantly coming back, though it's never arrived? Good evening to you, Dr. Miller.
Good evening, John. Herd immunity is a point at which an epidemic subsides. And so we were able to achieve that historically only once with smallpox vaccine. So it was a very good vaccine. So many people were immunized that the virus was no longer able to spread. It could no longer find susceptible targets, and it virtually disappeared. And we haven't had natural cases of smallpox now for decades. With other viruses, we don't achieve anything resembling that. What we can do is to get down to a point where a person who's infected will infect less than one additional person, and then the epidemic or the outbreak pretty much subsides, but it persists at a low level. So we will never get to true herd immunity for several reasons with COVID-19. One is that we have vaccine hesitancy, which you and I have discussed. Some people, a core of maybe 20% in our population, are resistant to getting the vaccine. They say they won't take it under any circumstances. Given that some of the vaccines, for example, the Johnson & Johnson one, is only effective at most in about 3/4 of people who receive it, we won't get anywhere near the 80% immunity in the population that's necessary for something that resembles herd immunity. The other factor is that we have these so-called variants of concern that are appearing. The B117, which appeared in the UK, sometimes called the UK variant, is much more transmissible, which makes herd immunity even more elusive. Then we have the other variants, such as the South African variant, which appears not to be affected by vaccination very much, which is very, very worrisome. And a Brazilian variant, and now an emerging Indian variant, which has a couple of worrisome mutations in the spike protein, of the virus. So we're by no means out of the woods, even with a very aggressive and largely successful vaccination program underway in the U.S.
Two things, Henry. First, about the seasons, and second, about the recommendations going forward for how to think of these variants. About the seasons, there appears in this and the presentation to be a winter concept and a summer concept. Winter makes us far more vulnerable. Summer, we want to go outside and we believe we're less vulnerable. Is that true, or is that just an urban legend, Henry, that there are seasonal differences to worry about?
Well, there are seasonal differences in different kinds of viruses. So influenza, flu virus, does proliferate well, survives better in the cold. But the other thing that's very important is that where you have large numbers of people in a closed place congregating, you're going to have more transmission and more illness. That's a particular problem with with the SARS-CoV-2, which causes COVID-19, because there's a lag period of several days to a week between infection and the appearance of symptoms, and the infected person can spread the virus during that time. And so we've seen these so-called super spreader events, including some events at the White House, events such as choirs in churches spreading the virus widely, and in bars in particular, where people are maskless and are congregating and spreading the virus. So again, indoors, enclosed environments, poor ventilation, and colder temperatures all promote spread of COVID-19.
About the variants, you have taught me over the years, Henry, and each year Henry did a flu report very faithfully for the last decades, and obliging people to get their flu shot. We've had very bad flu seasons. There was one I remember in California a couple of years ago where they were setting up tents in the parking lots. It was quite alarming to the people of California. Nothing to do with COVID, nothing to do with SARS. It was flu. Very serious flu, which is an annual killer. Henry, you've taught me that these variants are logical. They're part of viruses. You mentioned the Kent, the UK version, the South African version. The one out of Brazil, associated with the Amazon capital of Manaus, is said to be highly infectious and overwhelms the Brazilian and pretty soon the South American health system. Now, variants are natural, correct, Henry? There will always be variants where there are people. So even these variants that I just listed, that's just the beginning of the variant story going forward forever. Right, Henry?
That's right, John. And the reason you brought up an interesting point, which illustrates the importance of our old adage, flattening the curve. We need to flatten the curve. And that's that the more infections you have, the more replicating virus you have in people who are infected, and the greater chance of mutation. These viruses are mutating all the time. And the more infections you have, the more virus you have, the more mutants you're going to have. All candidates for Darwinian selection, that is survival of the fittest. And fit here means ability to spread, ability to persevere. In the environment. The other thing that's appropriate to your mentioning flu is that this past flu season, at which we're just at the end of, was virtually non-existent. Why is that? Well, it's because of all of these precautionary measures that so many of us have been taking: masking, washing our hands frequently, sheltering, avoiding congregating indoors in places with poor ventilation. And so there was virtually no flu. What public health experts are concerned about, and what was reflected in that JAMA article that you referred to, is that by the winter time, by the fall of this year and the winter, the next flu season, we're liable to have far fewer people using those precautionary measures, observing those precautionary measures. And so we're likely to have a real flu season again. And one of the things that medical institutions, urgent care, hospitals, ICUs, are fearful of is that we're going to have not only a surge in coronavirus, but also a normal flu season, or who knows, maybe even a higher, more severe normal, more severe than normal flu season that will really cause terrible burdens on the healthcare system.
I'm speaking with Dr. Henry Miller of the Pacific Research Institute, a senior fellow, henrymillermd.org. We're discussing a JAMA article, The Potential Future of COVID-19 Pandemic, and written by two physicians, Christopher Murray and Peter Piot. When we come back, the physicians make five recommendations for the years ahead, for the decades ahead, dealing with COVID-19 until and if we have another threat. And so we'll fold that into our threat management. As I understand it, COVID-19 is not to be conquered. It's to be managed. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.